My name is John Cullen, and I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and curling. It's the story of Broomgate, how a single broom, yes, a broom, turned friends into foes and almost killed the 500-year-old sport of curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate, available now.
This is a CBC podcast.
Welcome to Laugh Out Loud. I'm your host, Ali Hassan. And today on our comedy show, we're exploring death. What's that now? I thought this was a comedy show. Well, you know, it comes for us all. And comedians, the good ones, know how to put a very funny bow on it. From a gala entitled Die Laughing at the Winnipeg Comedy Festival, with a very personal story about death, here is Dion Arnold.
Thank you very much. Hi, everybody. My name's Dion Arnold. Thank you so much for being here tonight. I'm going to tell you a story, kind of because I have to. mostly because my grandmother passed away by assisted suicide. Yeah, I can't just tell you that and then not the story. Be kind of hard to throw that up and then just kind of walk away from. My grandmother was always very impatient, so no one was really surprised. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No one was surprised when she was like, hey, death, pick it up. Like, my whole life growing up, my grandmother's catchphrase was, anyways, in its entirety. That was her whole catchphrase. Didn't matter what you were talking about, grandma was over it. You'd be like, grandma, I'm going through a horrible divorce, could really use you right now. And she would go, anyways, been there, done that, let's go bowling. At 92 years old, my grandmother was in a horrible car accident. She was crossing Portage Avenue and a very poorly wrecked car everywhere, and my grandmother walked away from it unscathed. Completely fine. Yeah. Well, you say that, but she was pissed. She was so mad, she was confused. She was like, am I a superhero? What's going on? We heard the news, we called, we were like, are you okay? And she went, what's gonna kill me? As if she had been trying. At 95 years old, she moves into an old folks home, a retirement home, and she starts having all these, what the doctors called, unexplained random falls. They're not unexplained. She's 95. Your explanation is right there. She is made of dust. That's what dust does. It settles on the ground. One day we got a call from the hospital, let us know she's been admitted to hospital after one of these falls, and she's now having a brain hemorrhage. She has internal bleeding in her brain, and we're told we only have maybe 8 hours left with her. And so we all fly out, about 12 of us fly from our respective homes, and we all come to Winnipeg to be with her. Here's the big twist. Turns out the fall never caused the brain hemorrhage. The brain hemorrhage has been going on for years and is actually what's been causing these falls. Yeah. Bigger twist, none of us can find hotel rooms. Winnipeg, huge tourist town. Don't know if you knew. Thanksgiving, huge day for Ukrainians, apparently. I should know, I'm Ukrainian. None of us can find hotel rooms, and so all 12 of us do the only thing that we can do, and 12 of us move into my grandmother's one-bedroom apartment in an old folks' home. And they hate us. One, because there is 11 of us, too many. And two, because it's a family reunion, so we are drinking. And our grandma might die, so we are drinking. And they keep coming around being like, this is not a frat house. And we're like, my grandma said we could stay here. It's cool. Slam. And we don't care that they hate us because we get to be there with our grandmother for those 8 hours. And it's very important to us that we are there for those 8 hours because at the end of those 8 hours, my grandmother is declared stable. Yeah. She's going to be totally fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she is pissed. She's so mad. We're like, Grandma, this is great. You're going to make a full recovery. And she goes, I don't want it. I want the maid. And we look around. We're like, the room's spotless. And this is when we find out from my grandmother, who was a registered nurse, what MAID is. MAID here in Canada is an acronym that stands for Medical Assistance in Death. It's something that we have in Canada, I think is very beautiful, that we give terminally ill and near-death people that dignity back and that choice back. It is only for the terminally ill and near-death. You don't just get to call it in on your dad. As much as we would all love to be homeowners. Doesn't work that way. We find this out from her, and she asks if she can take this program, and we go, never won an argument with you in my life. I'm not going to start now. And so we start to figure it out, and also this way, you know, we get to be there for it. We get to be with her. We get to say goodbye, and we get to find out whether or not you are, in fact, Wolverine. Okay? Because if this doesn't get her, I'm signing her up to the Academy. I know where it is. And so now we have a celebration. So everyone who hasn't, not the death, but we have a celebration because she turns 96 in hospital. And so everyone who hasn't flown out flies out, and we're trying to have this birthday party. She turns 96, and we're going, Grandma, this is amazing. You turn 96. Did you ever think you'd make it to 96? And she goes, I thought 69, maybe. Weird time for a weird sex joke, Grandma. It's your birthday. We'll allow it. And it is on her 96th birthday party that we get word back from the MAID program that she is, in fact, eligible. We will be losing our grandmother in the next 2 weeks. It's a very difficult, very sombering mood to put on this birthday party for the rest of us. She couldn't be more excited. She threw her hands in the air and was like, best birthday present ever! And we went, oh yeah, that's what you wanted. You can't find that at the mall. We start taking back gifts. We're like, don't worry, she's never going to use it. And it was a gift to her. It was exactly what she wanted. She was laying in bed at 96 in pain, and she didn't want that anymore, and it was giving her dignity back. And she got so excited. She went from laying in a hospital bed, depressed and upset about her position, to being so excited, she cracked out every joke she possibly could for the next 2 weeks. And this was the first one that she would always start with every single morning. In Grace General Hospital, there was a sign that sat on the wall that said, checkout time at this hospital is 10 a.m. Yeah, we can all agree that's ridiculous. Yeah, because this is a hospital, not a hotel. How about checkout time is whenever you fix me, bud? How about that? Instead it just says, hey, you still bleeding? Cool, well, it's 10. Get a taxi. Hospital's full. And every morning she would wake up, she would look at the sign, she would look at the clock, and if the clock said 10 a.m., she would point at the sign and point at the clock and go, where are they? Every morning, where are they? You just had to joke back with her, 11, 12, 1. Ah, Grandma, you're over your time. Grandma, you're over your time. And she'd go, haha, no, seriously, kill me. But her favorite joke was every single new person that came in the hospital room, she would sit up in bed, look at them and go, is it you? As if you're the doctor now. One day a janitor comes in and she sits up and goes, is it you? And we go, Grandma, that's a janitor. He doesn't have any idea what's going on here. He has no context. Why don't you leave that nice man alone? And she goes, he has strong hands. It's a smothering joke from a 96-year-old woman. And then she threw him a pillow. So then we had to plan a funeral. I don't know if anyone has ever had the displeasure of planning a funeral. I'm sorry if you have. It's not a very fun thing to do, to plan a funeral, unless you get to plan a funeral for someone who's not dead yet. Very fun to call a funeral director and go, "Hi, we need a funeral for Sunday." And they go, "And the deceased is?" And you go, "Not deceased." They have a lot of questions. Yeah, mostly, "What? Oh, no, 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 they will be dead on Saturday." Yeah. "Why do you know that?" "Well, we have it arranged." Click. It took 4 funeral homes for that to stop being fun for me. So the day finally comes, which are her words, not mine. And there's one last checks and balance that the funeral, that the maid program has to do. Doctor, patient, nobody else in the room to make sure that this is still what they want, that no one's been pressuring them into this, and that they still want to go through with it. And so we get kicked out into the hallway, and we're listening in from the hallway. And we hear the doctors ask, "Joyce, do you know why you're here today?" And the answer has to be yes for them to go through with this. "Joyce, do you know why you're here today?" And we hear her answer, "No." And immediately we go, "I didn't push her into this. Was this you? Did you push her into this? I wasn't." It's crazy. And we get excited because, you know, we go, "You know what? Maybe she just wants to stick around another day, another week, another hour. I would love to have my grandmother for one more hour." And then we hear her correct herself and she goes, "No, I don't know why I'm still here." "I asked you for this 2 weeks ago. What is this service, an Earl's?" Yeah. Just want to slam Earl's, why not? We laugh and we hear the doctors laugh, you know, and then we hear them correct themselves and they go, "Sorry, Joyce, do you know why we're here today, Joyce? Do you understand why we are here today?" And she says, "Yes. Because it's a beautiful day to die." Yeah, those are my grandmother's last words. "It's a beautiful day to die." It's also a diehard quote. Yeah, pretty easy to let someone go when their last words are, "Yippee-ki-yay!" "You seem ready." So we get let back into the room and we get to take her hand and sing her Danny Boy like she had requested. And we don't all get to take a hand. There's 15 of us at this point. So most of us are just clutching loose skin, you know. But yeah, oh yeah, there's a lot of it. And you grab on because you're like, "I don't really know what happens next, you know. Maybe she's a spaceship. Maybe we all go." Yeah. We hold on and we sing her Danny Boy, which is a beautiful and haunting song, and in the rehearsal, we nailed it. Showtime, not so much. But as Danny Boy fades into just utter tears and sobs and silence, my grandmother gets to pass happy, surrounded by her family, after a long and dignified life, and she gets to go out on her own terms. But it does still mean that my grandmother, our matriarch, the glue that held our family together, is gone. Anyways. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much. My name's Dion Arnold. Her name is Joyce Kubi. Thank you.
That is Dion Arnold. And I have to mention that I watched that set live in Winnipeg when it was recorded. And I really enjoyed watching Dion take that delicate subject and making it so funny and endearing. And that set is actually a condensed version of a very funny fringe show that he toured in Canada, the UK, and Australia. It's called How I Killed My Nan. And you can find more of Dion Arnold at Lord Walmart on Instagram. All right, one announcement to make. If you're on Prince Edward Island or you can get there, I wanted to let you know about an upcoming recording we're doing in Charlottetown. will be at the Trailside Music Hall on Wednesday, April 17th. And don't be fooled by the music in the name. We are coming to town to record some terrific comedians, including some newcomers to Laugh Out Loud, like Sean Hogan, Tanya Nicole, Britt Campbell, Taylor Carver, Catherine Cairns, and a regular on CBC's The Debaters, Patrick Ledwell. Some of the absolute funniest performers on Prince Edward Island, all under one roof at the same time. You'll want to reserve your tickets as soon as you can, because with a lineup like that, this show will sell out quickly. Head to our website, cbc.ca/laughoutloud.
Hello, I'm Jess Milton. For 15 years, I produced The Vinyl Cafe with the late, great Stuart McLean. Every week, more than 2 million people tuned in to hear funny, fictional, feel-good stories about Dave and his family. We're excited to welcome you back to the warm and welcoming world of The Vinyl Cafe with our new podcast, Backstage at The Vinyl Cafe. Each week, we'll share two hilarious stories by Stuart, and for the first time ever, I'll tell you what it was like behind the scenes. Subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get back to our show. This next comedian is one of my dearest friends in comedy. We started months apart in Montreal many years ago now, and she has over the years performed all over the world, including the Just for Laughs Festival in Sydney, Australia. She's opened for Patton Oswalt a number of times. She and her wife, Jess Solomon, make up a terrific duo that also tours this continent together, and she was on the Rick Mercer Comedy Night in Canada tour across this country. Well, except for that period where she got COVID and was confined to a hotel in Thunder Bay, Ontario for 7 days. But that is another story for another time. From the Die Laughing Gala at the Winnipeg Comedy Festival, here is Iman El Husseini.
Oh my goodness, the Die Laughing Gala. You guys hear me? Perfect. Die Laughing Gala. The topics are death and dying. This is a packed house. What is wrong with you people? This is crazy. I'm so happy to be back in Winnipeg. Beautiful weather you guys are having. That must be a first, right? It's me, it's all me, right? Is it me? Thank you. They don't agree with you, but thank you. Is it just me or global warming suits you guys? I say die tan, that's what I say. That's my motto. It's good to be back in Canada. I live in the U.S. now. It's nice to come on stage without my purse on me. It's huge. In America, the comics are always like, leave your purse with us. I'm like, I've seen your movies, America. No, thank you. No, thank you. Pay off your student debts and then we'll talk. You know what I'm saying? I'm happy to be back in Winnipeg. You guys have a bit of a bad reputation. You do. You ask people, what do they say about Winnipeg? They're like, nothing. Nobody says anything ever. But I discovered why you guys have a bad reputation. You invented calling 911. Did you know this about yourself? You invented calling the police. You're the first Karens, you guys. You're the first. You're so proud about it, too. This is your Canadian heritage minute. Hello, 911. I see black people. This is what... My name? It's Karen. All kidding aside, you guys, I feel like the world is divided more than ever before. And I think it's crazy, but there's one thing that we all agree on, the fear of death. Nobody wants to die. It's almost unanimous, right? Our fear of dying. Some of us are afraid because we don't want to suffer. Others are afraid because we're afraid of the unknown, but we're afraid to die. But you know how like popular beliefs are usually a misconception, you know, or inaccurate? Like, I found out today that you could swim right after you eat. You don't have to wait for 30 minutes. And I promise I'm not trying to kill you. This is true. You know, other common beliefs, the cops are here to protect and serve. You guys know this, you invented this. Another one is size doesn't matter, you know. What if death is like that? What if death, we're all afraid of it, but what if it's awesome, right? Like, I suspect it's a bit like when you get invited to a party, you're dreading to go to it, but you have to go and you end up having the best time? What if death is like that? What if the afterlife is the after party of the century? What about... Think about it. You get there and you're like, oh my God, Notorious B.I.G. is here, Tupac, Nina Simone, Princess Diana, oh my God, Freddie Mercury and David Bowie are singing karaoke right here. Betty White is reunited with her husband. Jesus Christ, this is amazing. Jesus walks out like, yes, did someone call me? I don't know. What if that's the purpose, for us to die? Like, that's what's exciting. Like, God is standing up there looking at us like, these people, I'm giving them heroin, KFC, ice cream cakes, and they're running on a treadmill? Are you kidding me? Hot yoga? I'll show you hot yoga. Wait till you get here. That's another scary notion, right? It's afterlife, heaven or hell. Heaven or hell. People are afraid of that. Nobody wants to go to hell. And I'm Muslim and gay. I drink alcohol. I don't pray 5 times a day. I eat pork. I'm basically Christian. Okay, you guys aren't Islamophobic at all. But my people believe everybody's going to hell. We're like, we're going to hell, you're going to hell, everybody's going to hell. We're very angry people, okay? We come from the hottest countries in the world, and we got all of the hair, all of it. We're very angry. This is why I prefer Judaism's interpretation. They don't believe in hell, right? And they control the world, so... Some of you are afraid to laugh. You could laugh at this joke. You could laugh. Listen, my wife is Jewish. So, she hates the joke, but whatever, she just... even like things that are so healthy, they're so, like anything that's bad for us is amazing, right? It tastes so good. Anything that's, has anybody craved broccoli ever, ever? Unless it's fried and stuffed with cheese, nobody cares, nobody... I am married to a woman. I did come out formally. I don't think it's important anymore. It's 2022, right? Who cares? You're also looking at me like, we see it. It's fine. It's fine. Is that why you're dressed like you just auditioned for the Village People? Is that why? Yes, it is. Thank you for asking. I am gay married. I'm glad my marriage survived the pandemic, you guys, because it was a lot of, you know, unwanted FaceTime. You know what I mean? For 2.5 years, this is the only conversation we had. 2.5 years. You walked the dog. Did she poo? She didn't poo. Maybe she'll poo on the next one. That's it. For 2.5 years. I think our marriage survived too, because when the pandemic started, we left New York and came back to Canada, because I was just like, you see the dead bodies piling up in body bags. I'm like, we're out of here. I cannot die in an emergency room. It's not part of the plan. So let's go back to Canada. We went back to Canada, and we were in the middle of nowhere, and my wife loved it. We were in the country. She loves that. I can't fall asleep to silence. That's why I moved to New York, right? I moved to New York because I fall asleep to the sound of sirens and honking, people screaming, people clinging to life. You know what I mean? That's the sound that I like to fall asleep to. But my wife loved it. She's like, it's so serene. It's so beautiful. It's so quiet. I'm like, no, this is not. This is the beginning. This is how every horror movie starts, right? So my wife does this thing. She has this weird thing. She has a lot of weird things. She does this other thing where, like, we'll be sitting in the room together for 3 hours. 3 hours in silence. As soon as I get up to go to the washroom, she's like, you know what? I want to tell you something. What? I just... But the weirdest thing she does is that she likes to tell me her worries so she could fall asleep. And... And I'm Palestinian. I'm used to political instability. You know what I mean? I fall asleep in a second. But her, she needs to tell me her worries. So the first night we get to this place, she, as soon as I'm about to doze off, her timing is perfect. As soon as my eyes are closing, she says, "Wow, it's really quiet and serene and peaceful. If we get murdered, if we get murdered, people might not find us for months, maybe even years. Okay, good night." And then the other day, we're talking about climate change. She's like, "Climate change is real. I'm so worried about climate change." I'm like, "I agree with you. It's so bad. I think we have like 50 years to go." And she's like, "10 years tops." "Okay, good night." She's Jewish. I'm Palestinian. She's my reparations. She doesn't think I'm afraid of dying, which is not true. I'm not brave at all. Like, I sleep with the nightlight. You know what I mean? I'm brave during the day, but at night, I'm too scared. I can't sleep in the dark. I'm not afraid of death. She's just terrified of death. Like, terrified. She cries when there's turbulence on the plane. That's how scared she is. All of you, too. Okay. And once we got into a huge fight, and she threatened to crash the car. But we were in a parking lot. Like, parked in a parking lot. I'm like, this woman clearly has never thought of committing suicide. There's no way. I'm like, "Do you want to come in the driver's seat? Do you want the car keys? What?" It's not that I'm not afraid of death. I like planning my funeral. I want a big festive funeral, and I talk about that, and she hates it. She hates it. Well, this is the thing, too. We had a health scare. She had cervical cancer. Now she doesn't have a uterus. She took it out, which has been, like, amazing for our relationship, because just one period, right? I'm trying to plan our funeral, and she doesn't like it, because I'm like, "Listen, I want a mausoleum. I don't want to go underground. I want a mausoleum above ground, and I want a double coffin so we could spoon in the afterlife. But we have to find a cemetery that has both Muslim and Jewish, and we have to, like, be at the border." So spooning, so it's respecting both of our religions. And she's like, "Anything else?" I'm like, "No, that's it. Good night." You guys are amazing. Thank you so much.
That is Iman El-Husseini, and you can look up her album, Handsome Daughter, online. My thanks today to the Winnipeg Comedy Festival and sound engineers Brian Harder and Laura Antonelli and Tracy Rideout. And a special thanks to my producer, Lee Pitts. And a final thanks to you for listening to Laugh Out Loud on CBC Radio 1, Sirius XM, and the free CBC Listen app, or from our podcast. You can always subscribe to our podcast and get a new episode each week. My name is Ali Hassan. I'll see you back here real soon.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.